Why the promised Messiah is called Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, son of Mary. A third difficulty is raised about the prophecy with regard to the second coming of the Messiah. In the traditions, the promised one is called Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, son of Mary. The prophecy therefore relates literally to the first Messiah, the Jesus of history. If it is to be fulfilled, it must be through the advent of Jesus in the flesh. The fact that metaphors abound in all languages is forgotten. The name Jesus is freely applied to persons other than Jesus. No difficulty is raised then. But if, in the speech of God, a person is given the name of Jesus, they begin to wonder about its meaning. Do they forget that a person who excels in the virtue of charity is metaphorically called Hatam of Tai? A person with a philosophical bent of mind is called Tusi? A person who displays a capacity for dialectical reasoning is called Razi? Why then make any difficulty about the name Ibn Maryam? If the name Ibn Maryam is the name of a known individual, are not Hatam, Tusi and Razi names of known individuals? If by giving these names to other persons, nobody is misled into thinking that these persons are the original Hatam, Tusi or Razi, need anybody think that when the promised one is named Isa ibn Maryam or Jesus, son of Mary, it must mean the self-same Jesus, son of Mary, who appeared in the world 1900 years ago. And yet, there is a difference between the names Hatam, Tusi and Razi and the name son of Mary. The former have each come to have one definite meaning, but the name Maryam has been used to describe a spiritual condition by the Holy Quran itself. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِندَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَمَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ الَّتِي أَحْصَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا وَصَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهَا وَكُتُبِهِ وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. And Allah sets forth for those who believe the example of the wife of Pharaoh, when she said, "My Lord, build for me a house with thee in the garden, and deliver me from Pharaoh and his work, and deliver me from the wrongdoing people." And the example of Mary, the daughter of Imran, who guarded her chastity. So we breathed into her of our spirit, and she fulfilled in her person the words of her Lord and his books, for she was one of the obedient. In this passage, believers are likened to the wife of the Egyptian Pharaoh who persecuted Moses. She sought her end in heaven, in the nearness of God, and she asked for release from Pharaoh and his machinations, and from participating in his cruel deeds. Believers are also likened to Mary, the daughter of Imran. She guarded her chastity and she received the revelation of God and affirmed the truth of God's teaching and his books. She proved to be one of the most loyal servants of God. Here, believers are described as being of two types. The type which is like the wife of Pharaoh, and the type which is like Mary. It is obvious that at least one type of believer is Mary-like. If, therefore, the promised one is called son of Mary, it might mean that this promised one will have his origin in a Mary-like condition, and that growing out of this, he will attain a Jesus-like condition. It might mean that the earlier life of the promised one will be holy and spotless, even as Mary was holy and spotless, his later life being akin to that of Jesus. Jesus received sustenance and support from the Holy Spirit. So will the promised one. Jesus devoted his life to the service of truth and goodness. so will the Promised One. It is a pity that the ulama of our time do not ponder over the words of the Holy Quran. They have forbidden themselves to go deeply into its meaning. Small wonder that they miss the beauty and the significance which lie beneath the surface of the holy text. But if our ulama had read the writings of the early doctors of Islam, writings based on the Holy Quran and on the lives and experiences of early prophets, they would have found the truth. Sheikh Sahabuddin Sohrawardi, to cite one example of a Muslim saint who has written relevantly on this subject, says in his book, Awariful Ma'arij, that birth is of two kinds. Ordinary physical birth and metaphorical birth. In support of this statement, the great saint goes on to quote no other person than Jesus himself. The Sheikh writes, يَسِيرُ الْمُرِيدُ جُزْءَ الشَّيْخِ كَمَا إِنَّ الْوَلَدَ جُزْءُ الْوَالِدِ فِي الْوِلَادَةِ الطَّبْعِيَّةِ وَتَصِيرُ هَذِهِ الْوِلَادَةُ آنِفًا ولادة معنوية كما ورد عن عيسى صلوات الله عليه لن يلج ملكوت السماء من لم يولد مرتين فبالولادة الأولى يصير له ارتباط بعالم الملك وبهذه الولادة يصير له ارتباط بالملكوت. The murid, disciple, is part of the sheikh, preceptor, even as in physical birth the son is part of the father. The murid comes to birth in a metaphorical manner, in the sense which Jesus described when he said that no man will enter the kingdom of heaven unless he is born twice over. The first birth, according to the saint, links the person with the physical world. The second links him with the spiritual world. This theme is also in the Quran. وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. And thus did we show Abraham the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, that he might be rightly guided, and that he might be of those who have certainty of faith. According to Sheikh Sahabuddin Sohrawardi, therefore, every human being experiences a spiritual birth. In support of this view, he cites a verse of the Holy Quran and a saying of Jesus, according to whom the experience of spiritual birth is necessary for the spiritual development of an individual. Why should such a spiritual birth be impossible or difficult in the case of the promised Messiah? Briefly, then, the thought that the first Messiah should come to life again and appear today for the guidance of mankind impugns the greatness of God and his teaching and the high spiritual status of our Holy Prophet. It also contradicts the recorded saying of the Holy Prophet. The thought is ill-conceived, a result of parochial thinking. The truth is that the second coming of the Messiah was to take place in and through a follower of the Holy Prophet. This follower was to rise in the spirit and character of the first Messiah. According to us, the second Messiah has already come. His teaching has provided guidance for many. Many who had strayed away from God have found him again.